But just the other day, I was with Chris and we were in Costco. And as I walked in, I saw all this exercise equipment. And I thought, oh, it's a new year. The new year. First of the year, there's always that mindset for exercise, which is good. But there's so much more, isn't it, to life than that. And today, I want us to look at John chapter 7, as we read the first 13 verses. And I want us to look at this coming year and say, well, I'll never put into God's time or my time. We saw in that first few verses that Jesus went about in Galilee and that he wouldn't go to Judea because the Jews were seeking to kill him. It was the time of the Feast of the Booths. And so his brother said to him, you know, you should go up. You should go up into Jerusalem and show yourself. Of course, Jesus' response to his half brothers who advised him to go up and perform these miracles was, he said, my time is not yet. For you, any time will be. I love how the New Living Translation says Jesus said, now is not the right time for me to go. But for you can go anytime. And Jesus was drawing a contrast between his life and his brothers' lives. How they live and how he lives his life. This morning I want to develop this whole mindset of, since life is short, and eternity is forever, live according to God's time and not your time. First point today is very obvious, but very critical, I think, for us to think about. Life is short. Eternity is forever. Billy Graham was asked once what he was most surprised by in life. And he said, it's brevity. It's brevity. An old man was asked about his perspective on time as he aged. And he said, days were plentiful and cheap when I was young. Like tin can. I always got a pocket full and spent them casually. Now my supply is diminished and their value has soared. Each one becomes worth its weight in the gold of dawn. Suddenly, I live in unaccustomed thrift, cherishing hours the way lovers prize moments. And even at that, when the week is ended, it seems I've gone through another fortune. The day doesn't go as far as it used to. Powerful words to think about. I know that when my father was dying of cancer, he was always a strong man, physically, and right. And I remember as he broke his back and began to have problems, and then he came down with cancer and spread all of his body. And I remember at times they were giving him 4 different pain medications, and he's still in pain. It was sad to watch my mom, who again was a strong lady who was bright, and to see her break her hip and spend the last 3.5 years in bed with Alzheimer's affecting her mentally. Life is short. Eternity is forever. Jesus, living by God's time, didn't begin his ministry. He was 30 years old. And then he only spent 3 years, and it's amazing that he said to his father, and he was baptized, he said, I have glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. Think about it. 3 years, he says, I've accomplished all the work that you've given me to do. Incredible. If you and if I want to be like Jesus, we need to live with awareness of how short life is. And then one day, we'll give account to God of our lives and how we spend our time. Again, life is short, eternity is forever. Second point. Jesus' brothers were living by their time schedule and not by God's. Jesus told them, you can go up to the beast. My time has not come yet. For you, any time will be. The implication that Jesus had there was that they weren't living according to God's time. D.A. Carson, in his commentary, writes that Jesus was basically saying to them that what they were doing was utterly insignificant as far as God was concerned. I think if we look at the lives of these brothers, there are three implications for our lives as we look at living according to our time schedule. First thing is they weren't living under the lordship of Jesus Christ. Verse 5 there says that not even his brothers believed in him. They'd grown up with him. They knew him better than anybody else. They had heard his messages, his teaching. They'd seen his miracles. And yet, they didn't believe in him. They were good. Good religious Jews who observed the various festivals of the Jewish faith. And this feast with the booths was one of them. And even though they didn't believe and Jesus is Lord and Savior, they followed the rituals. They probably didn't even see a need for a Savior. After all, they were good religious Jews in comparison to pagans. So if you and I want to live by God's time and not waste our life by living according to our schedule, the first order is to trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And when we come to Christ, make him our Lord and Savior, we repent of living for ourselves. We make him Lord. He's our Lord. He's Lord of our time also, isn't he? God wants us to seek him sincerely. Looking to him will make priorities in our life this coming year. Second thing about these brothers, they went along with their culture. They were in a Jewish culture. They went to the Feast of Booths, and they went out to the brother Jesus. They went because that's what all Jewish men did. Think about it. They lived in a nation of Jewish people. And at this time of the year, the Feast of the Booths, all men went. It was a God-ordained ritual. But they did it without faith, without true faith. Our culture is far from that. Our culture celebrates pleasure and materialism as the ultimate thing in life. We know it's easy for us, isn't it, to follow culture also. It's easy for us to attend church, to be members, get baptized, to take part in communion, but to leave Jesus out of our lives. We need to live in such a way that we don't leave God out. The third thing is, I think, that these brothers, they lived according to worldly wisdom, not according to God's wisdom. They offered, I think, very sincerely to their brother, Jesus, how to advance his career. The Feast of the Booths was probably the most popular of all the festivals that the Jewish people gathered for. Thousands and thousands of Jews would come to Jerusalem to celebrate. In the eyes of Jesus' brothers, if Christ would only go into Jerusalem, attend this festival, he'd have the largest crowds he'd ever had. He could make a name for himself. The word would spread quickly about this Jesus, God. And better yet, probably the most religious people in the nation would be there. And in their mindset, what better way for a religious leader to spread their wares, so to speak. And if Jesus is interested in being honored religiously, then he must prove eventually to be the master of Jerusalem, which is the center of Jewish culture and religious life. Otherwise, if he doesn't, then he'd just be considered a rustic, rural country preacher. So their advice, Jesus, you can't become famous. You keep on hiding out like you are. Go serve yourself to the world. They may have meant well, but their advice was kind of in line with Satan. Do you remember when Satan tempted Jesus Christ? And he says, go up to the highest point in the temple and jump. And let the angels kind of catch you and just kind of float down to the ground. Show your power. These brothers' mindset was similar. They meant well. But see, they were using the wisdom of the world and not the wisdom of God. And the truth is, if Jesus had chosen to go into town and to perform these miracles at this booth, at the feast of the booth, the reality is the people were trying to make him a political Messiah. That would have been real faith. We know so much would have happened that wouldn't have been according to God's will. When one says Jesus had no intention of going to Jerusalem and showing himself to the world. Yet, in another sense, it was in Jerusalem, wasn't it, that Jesus showed himself on the cross. There, he didn't perform miracles. He died so he might draw all men to him. He became the Savior of the world. Think about it. Christ had gone into the sun. He had done all those miracles. If he wasn't doing what God wanted, he would have failed. You see, the cross is foolishness to the wisdom of this world. God's ways aren't our ways. God's timing is not our timing. And God's thoughts are not our thoughts. I love how in the shadow of the Almighty Elizabeth Elliot quotes Somerset Maugham. And he's talking about old people and how they die. And they die without really living for the Lord or any purpose. And he says, these old folk had done nothing. And when they died, it would be just as if they'd never been. Think about it. We can grow old living for ourselves. And it's like, as if we never lived. And Elizabeth Elliot said that her husband, back then, Jim Elliot, his response was, God deliver me. God deliver me. May God deliver us from living according to our time, according to the world's wisdom, instead of according to God's time and God's wisdom. To understand how to live in God's time, I think we need to look at Jesus and how he lived his life. We see that Jesus lived very much according to God's timing. He submitted to God's plan for his life. And throughout the Gospel of John, over and over and over, we see words about the hour, about Jesus' hour. Do you remember the wedding in Cana? The wine was running out at the celebration, and what did Mom say? Mom said, Jesus, come listen to wine. Christ's words to his mom were, woman, the hour is not left. My hour isn't kept coming. Chapter 7, verse 30, later on, Jesus did go to the festival of booths, but he didn't go up in a popular sense among the crowd, but he went quietly. It says, though, that they were seeking, the authorities were seeking to arrest Christ, But no one laid a hand on them. Why? Because the hour had not yet come. In chapter 12, 23, the triumphal entry into Jerusalem, Christ said, the hour has come. The Son of Man will be glorified. 12:27, Father, save me from this hour, but for this purpose I have come to this hour. In Bible 17:1, Christ says, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. Do you see how over and over there's a focus on time with Christ and his Father? My hour is not yet come. Finally, my hour has come. In contrast to his brothers who lived according to the world's agenda, Jesus lived very purposely according to God's agenda. And there are about four or five things, I think, we want to look at. What that means to live according to God's time. First is, Jesus was the kind of God. He spent his time according to how his Father sent him. If you think about it, he didn't want his mom to tell him when to make the wine. Or he wouldn't want. He didn't want his brothers to make 24. Sometimes it's not easy for us, is it, to determine the specifics of our schedules, maybe big events, or even daily or weekly schedules. But I think as we use God's Word, his wisdom will direct us if we make set our priorities. Well, secondly, Jesus lived the purpose of glorifying God and accomplishing what he had given us. And we saw that earlier. Christ, in the end, said, I've accomplished all that he's going to do. God doesn't call everybody to be a missionary. God doesn't call everyone to be in full-time ministry. But God calls each of us to live according to the life that he's called us to bring glory to him. Third, Jesus had a harvest mindset. And he viewed every situation with an eternal perspective. I can't help but think of the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman at the well, in John 4. It's a good picture of us, I think, if we think about it, the disciples. If you remember, the disciples with their temporal mindset, they were focused on getting lunch for Jesus, remember? And they had plans to do that. They had to go somewhere. They had to get out of Samaria. But Christ had a harvest mindset. And he wanted them to see what God was doing in the life of this woman. And eventually, all the people in this town came to faith in Jesus Christ across the earth. Why does this harvest mindset affect you, affect me? For some of us, it may apply to raising our children so they know and love and follow Jesus Christ. For others, it may be helping a family member or a friend or a co-worker or even a stranger come to saving faith in Jesus Christ. But ask God to give you a harvest mindset. Before, Jesus was cautious in his life, but he never allowed God's will to not be done in his life. Think about Jesus stayed in Galilee because the Jews were chasing after him for a long period of time. But when the time came for him to go, he went. And I think of Paul. You think about Paul, he escaped many times threats on his life. And many times he went into places knowing that he faced either persecution or death. Now our mindset should be the same to glorify God in our lives. Well, fifth, Jesus, as he lived according to God's time, was willing to confront the godless culture around him. Again, Jesus confronted his brothers. He didn't allow them to affect him. Do you remember the time when he had lunch with the Pharisee? And of course, they ceremonial cleaning of the hands. Jesus pushed me to do it. He pointed out the hypocrisy of washing the outside of the cup. And the cup is filled with wickedness on the inside. There were experts in the law who were there when he did this, and one of them said, you know, basically, I'm offended. You're insulting us as experts in the law. And Jesus' response was, oh, I'm very sorry. I didn't mean to offend you. Jesus said, woe to the experts of the law. And then he exposes their sin. This doesn't mean that we're to be rude or insensitive. We should always be gracious. We should always be kind. We should always be gentle. But God calls us at times to confront culture. I love how Rick Warren, a few years ago, was talking to Piers Morgan on CNN. And they were talking about homosexual marriage. Rick Warren's opposition to it. And Rick Warren said, I fear God's disapproval more than yours.
Awesome.
And I fear God's disapproval more than his desires. But we compare it with contrast to Jesus Christ and his brothers. And I'm going to give us a couple steps today. Help us choose to live for God. First thing is, make sure today that if you're here, that you place your faith in Jesus Christ. You made him Lord and Savior in your life. Apart from that, your life is futile, is empty. It's like the old men, old people that were dying early to talk about him. It's as if they never lived. I love what Jim Elliot said. He says, when it comes time to die, make sure that all you're going to do is die. That's powerful. Think about it. Make sure when you die, all you're going to do is die. And then, I want you to think. I want you to write a one-sentence purpose statement for your life. A one-sentence purpose statement for your life. Why are you living? I want you to think of a couple of things, short-term goals this year, that you could do to begin fulfilling that. I think about the Apostle Paul, and he says in 1 Corinthians 9, he said, I do all things for the sake of the gospel. Later on, he said, he's very much not my own thoughts. Think about it. This will help you to remove some of the clutter in your life. It helps you to use your spiritual gifts. And if you're going to this new year, don't despise the mundane things of life. But see them as God's purpose and plan for your life. And start, again, as you go to that purpose statement for your life, what is your mission? Who are people around you that you can reach? Again, I want you to read today. I don't want you to go home and not think about how can I live in God's time instead of mine. What is your purpose? Go home and write a purpose statement in your life. Peter says this. He says, do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak. Is there a God in itself for speaking through you? Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. And then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen. Well, let's pray. Help us, Father, to not live lives that are futile, Father, that are empty, that are wasted. Oh, Father, we pray that we wouldn't grow older, we wouldn't hang on and live a useless life. What about an ask? Well, we don't know what our Bibles, we don't know the Word. I want you to open our hearts. Open our hearts. Lord, begin this new year. Open our hearts, Lord, to your Word and to your Spirit. Father, that we might live life in such a way that we according to your time and your purpose. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name.